All right, everybody, calm down. It's finally here.
What?
The bonus hour.
Woo!
The stream of consciousness. Enjoy yourselves. 60 minutes. Not really. 47 minutes of unbridled entertainment.
One of us... Never mind.
You can do this.
No, I'll do it later because just screwed it up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can I read a text that I enjoy very much? We were talking earlier about the fact that over the weekend we lost several celebrities of note. Kip Adada's name came up, the comedian from the 1970s, Kip Adada. And by the way, you had said where you first saw him was on Dr. Demento.
Heard him, yes.
Heard him, but I will prove you wrong.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. But this text first. Regarding the recently deceased comedian Kip Adada, this is from Alfredo, a listener to the show. Bill thought perhaps he was the oldest person in the world who goes by the name of Kip, but that is not quite right. Kip Adada was born in 1944, but Olympic track gold medalist Kip Kiino from Kenya was born in 1940, making him the oldest Kip alive. The oldest, world's oldest living Kip.
The world's oldest.
Yes.
The nation's oldest would have been Kip.
Kip Adada won the local competition, but Kip Keito from Kenya, globally, the oldest Kip.
You say that so mellifluously.
Well, it doesn't seem like we would have old guys named Kip. It's one of those names that doesn't translate to old guys. Right? There are certain names that when you hear an old guy, who's that old guy? Charles. Oh, yeah, Charles the old guy. But Kip sounds like a guy, first of all, stuck in the 1970s, can't quite get out of the 70s, banging and screaming, let me out of the 70s, but he can't get out. Right? There's no kids today named Kip. Do your boys have a single guy in their school named Kip?
No.
No. No, no, no. I believe the first place you may have seen Kip Adada was on Make Me Laugh.
Oh, with Bobby Van.
With Bobby Van. That preceded his songs that he had on Dr. Demento.
I just know Wet Dreams.
Yeah, that was his biggest hit.
He had other...
Yeah, he had a couple that...
Oh, boy. Maybe you should Google Kip Adada Wet Dreams because
I
got different stuff.
I don't
stuff.
Think I want to... No. I'll let you do that and tell me the results. I'll feel better about that. He always came off, you know, it's really funny because I watched some video of him yesterday because I hadn't seen him in a long, long, long time. I knew he wrote a book a couple years ago, but friends of mine said, it's really bitter.
Well, you said he had kind of a crappy life.
He had a horrible childhood.
Which I never knew anything.
Horrible.
Did you learn that from the book or you just knew this?
No, I knew that in advance. There were a couple guys that did stand up that... You could tell something, like there's that old adage about, you know, a lot of people go into stand-up comedy to try to erase what's going on in their real life. I was very fortunate. I had a great childhood. I wasn't trying to get away from anything doing stand-up. It was just one
it
of
was
the
fun for
only
you.
Skills I could pull off, you know. But there are guys who got into stand-up comedy, and you think, well, how can that be? That's a guy who makes his living making others laugh. How can they be so miserable? But... I have to say, he was high up on that list of, like, I'd work with somebody and they go, you know who I worked with a few months ago? I worked with Kip Adada. What a long week that was. I got a lot of that. You know who else was like that? Do you remember a comedian named Sandy Baron from a long time ago? Sandy Baron was a good friend of, he was around mostly in the 60s and the 70s. He used to be on Love American Style a lot.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly
Remember
who
him?
He is. Yeah.
All right, so when they made the movie about Lenny Bruce, because he was very close with Lenny Bruce, and he always said, if they ever make a movie about Lenny Bruce, I've got to play the role. And then he didn't get it. Dustin Hoffman got it and did really well with it. But then that so ruined Sandy Baron that he just became this bitter, ugly, horrible guy. And somebody said to me once, when's the next time you're going to Los Angeles? And at the time, I had a plan. I was going in 3 weeks, and I told them that. And they go to the Improv on Melrose, not the backmost table, but the table next to the backmost table. You'll see Sandy Baron, and he will not be happy. And I go, how do you know that? Because he's there every night. And every night that I was there, this guy, Sandy Baron, was at that table just spewing venom, just like whatever.
Spewing
venom. Spewing. Like you'd go over, you'd walk past the table and he would just stare at you and you go, "How's it going, Mr. Baron? How's it going? I haven't had a good job in 30 years. How do you think it's going?" It was that kind of.
But doesn't that make you terribly sad?
Yes.
I mean, I horribly. Can't fault him. And I mean, I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but I can certainly understand why he was like that.
But Sandy Baron was a guy, whenever you saw him on TV, like I said, he used to be in a lot of Love American Styles. Or did you ever see the movie Sweet November with Anthony Newley and Sandy Dennis? He's got a part in that. He's really good. He's like, you see him and you go, well, what a likable, oh, what a nice man, what a nice guy that guy is, Sandy Baron. But then he would just sit at that table and like comedians would walk past him and he would just smile at him. And then when they left, he'd say, you know, horrible things about him. But Kip Adada fell into that same kind of group of guys who at one time had things going their way. And then
that's sad.
And then it
didn't.
It is sad. There's no doubt about it. It's sad.
Now, Sandy Baron was one of Morty Seinfeld's friends
in real life. Yeah, and
Morty Seinfeld's Florida condo enemy on the sitcom Seinfeld.
Right, and that was playing more true to his real character because he was bitter and filled with just rage.
Poor guy. Getting Seinfeld's pretty good.
It didn't make him much happier. Believe me.
He died at 64.
Yeah. Yep.
That's terrible. I don't like to hear these bitter actors.
No, I know. But you can understand where if you're them and you have this career arc and all of a sudden, especially in a world like stand-up comedy, where there's always a fresh new flavor of the day and you go, oh, one day I used to be that fresh flavor of the day and now it's that guy. Ugh.
Yeah, I don't understand that. He also, according to Internet Movie Data Bill...
this is Sandy Baron or Kip Adada?
Sandy Baron. He wrote lyrics to Lou Rawls' 1971 hit, A Natural Man.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He, graduate of mid-70s Werner Erhard seminars known as EST.
Remember that?
According to an episode of E! True Hollywood Story about the Hollywood Squares daytime show, Baron was the host of the second of two unsold pilots for that game show. The first was hosted by Burt Parks. So that didn't come through.
It didn't play out for him.
And he was a New York City disc jockey in the 70s before returning to his acting career.
I think I kind of remember. But both of those guys were decent stand-up comics. There's no question about it. They were both pretty good.
And he did play Lenny Bruce at the Hollywood's Aquarius Theater in 1972.
Oh, in the play version of Lenny.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. But he was so sure he was going to get that part, and then when he didn't get it, he was never the same.
That started his spiral.
Yeah.
He replaced Al Lewis as Grandpa Munster in the TV movie The Munster's Scary Little Christmas.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that movie existed.
I didn't either. 1996, where were we?
A Scary Little Christmas? Was that was a made for TV, obviously, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the TV movie.
I'm trying to remember what the joke was that Kip Adada used to do all the time. It was something along the lines of a very well-dressed man and woman leave a hotel, and as soon as they walk out onto the sidewalk, a pigeon flies by and relieves itself on the woman's blouse. And then she says to her husband, quick, get some toilet paper. And he says, for what? That bird is a half a mile away by now.
Right. I just read that. Where did I read that?
That was like his signature.
That's Kip Adada's?
That's Kip Adada's gold standard joke.
That's pretty funny.
He also, he used to have this thing that he would do all the time where it was his rules for jokes. Like never apologize for the joke, plow straight through the joke, and then don't, I can't remember what the third one was. But they were like, when you look at rules for comedy, you go, all right, commit to the joke, I get. The first one was a good one. Commit to the joke. Don't do it half-hearted. Don't apologize, you know?
Yeah.
But then the other two were like, I'm not sure. One out of the three rules is accurate. The other two, But he would do that on stage all the time. He'd explain to the audience, especially when he wasn't doing well, I'm a guy that commits to the joke. I don't apologize for the joke. And then I can't remember what the third one was, but the third one was like, I don't think that one's right.
I got to tell you, I don't know why anyone would do stand-up. I mean,
why?
Because that and like solo singing career, you put yourself up there and out there for people, for just yourself to fail. I mean, I know it never happened to you, but I mean, there has to have been some comics that just are not clicking that night.
Oh, there were, it happened to me a ton of times. So many times.
How could you go back the next time? I would have bailed.
I would always just say to myself, I've done this so many times with good results that I can't blame myself. I mean, there's always theories.
Come on,
of
you
thought
blame
on,
the audience. They must be dumb.
No, I would never. I would, sometimes the circumstance just didn't sync up. You know, like just the way the room was. You know, it just didn't. I don't know. I would never get too upset about it, because I'd always go, I've done this so many hundreds of times. I'm going to do this hundreds of more times. You know, like with this, some of these shows that we do are better than others. But you can't beat yourself up over the bad ones. You just go, all right, I'll do it again tomorrow. Hopefully the results will be better. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, again, solo singer and a stand-up, you're there by yourself. At least, you know, I've heard you. You blame me when the show goes bad.
I used to do that with stand-up, too. I go, look, I'm not working with her yet, but at some point...
But it's just, you know, it really helps to have someone to help, you know? That's why you're most vulnerable when you're up there on your stage all by yourself.
Yeah. But that was the fuel that got it working.
I guess.
You go,
and then when you killed.
Yeah.
It was a good feeling, I'm imagining.
It felt, I know this is a crazy comparison, and for if you've never done stand-up, I don't know that this will make sense, but it feels like you're surfing. And I'm not a surfer, but there were just nights where I just felt like...
Well, like you're floating on air kind of thing.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And most of what I did when I did stand-up was just improv'd at the time. I mean, I had stuff that was set up if I needed it, but I just like, whatever's going on is going on. Let's talk about it. So like when those nights were working, you just go, wow, I don't remember any of what just happened. I was just on stage for 45 minutes. I don't remember a minute of it, but it worked. So...
The payoff has got to be sweet, but I don't know.
But you know how, like in baseball, a team will get clobbered, they'll lose like 16-1 or something, and then they'll come back the next game and they'll win, and you go, all right, well, it's the law of averages.
Yeah, but again, it's a team.
Yeah, it is more of a team, I guess. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, solo musicians, if you're not singing right, you got no one else to blame but you.
Right. I know.
And a stand-up comic, you got, you know, unless you're part of a team that's up there, which there aren't anymore. Are there even any teams?
Yeah. Yeah. The Sklar Brothers
that we've had on.
Yeah, there are still some teams. But I liked...
Wish you had a twin brother you could go...
An evil twin brother.
How do you know that one would be evil?
I'd be the evil twin brother. But I liked... I told you, the night that Norm MacDonald still to this day says... This show at Catch a Rising Star was the worst show he was ever in, and he flat out blamed the audience. He told the audience it was their fault.
That's Norm MacDonald. Norm can get away with that.
I had so much admiration for him explaining to the audience. I've told you this, right?
I think so. Remind us.
It's at Catch a Rising Star. It's 20-something years ago, and that particular night, he was in town because he was shooting his HBO one-night stand the next night, so he was going to do... the exact same 45 minutes at Catch a Rising Star that he was going to do on stage at the Vic Theater, right? But that night, Catch a Rising Star sold the entire thing out to a group. It's called the Young Jewish Singles Group. So it was a bunch of singles kind of on their first date at the comedy club. And the MC went up and just had a horrible night, just awful. Then I went up, but I didn't do much better. And then he goes up for his set, and he's getting no response at all. Zero response. No one's laughing.
Ugh.
And one by one, or two by two sometimes, people would just get up and leave. So what started out as a full room, now you're down to about a third of the room, and he's still doing his set, and he's getting no response at all. And his agent is in the back pacing. He's next to me. And I'm going, forget, don't even think about this. He goes, this is the set he's doing on his HBO special. No one's laughing, right? So Norm MacDonald, he gets through the 45 minutes, and there's hardly anyone there. And he goes, well, this wasn't much of a show, was it? And everyone's just staring at him. He goes, I wonder why. I wonder what happened. That's weird. He goes, well, you're young. He goes, you're the young Jewish singles group. You're young because that's when you were born. You can't control that. You're young people. Look at you. You're young. That's good. He goes, you're Jewish because that's your birthright. Your mom and your dad are Jewish, so now you're Jewish. You're single. Well, because not one of you has a sense of humor. You have no idea what's funny whatsoever. And he's just blasting them.
Did any of them laugh at that?
No.
Now, did that, no. Was that frequently a thing where, because I saw Craig Gass, who we've had on the show. He's great. He does a lot of impressions. He's been on Stern a lot. I went to see him, I can't remember where, and there was a bachelorette party up in the balcony, and he addressed that as he was on stage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that can't be true. And it was true.
Yeah.
So, like, a big group of people up in the balcony were hooting and a hollering,
yeah,
and carrying on and not even listening. Why would you, if you were a club, book that out when there's a show going
well,
on?
Well, they'll book a party like that because it's a guarantee of X amount of seats.
I guess,
but it's so disruptive to the rest of the show. And I'd always ask, if I was headlining at a club, if you have any specialty situations like that, put them way in the back. Don't put them up front because I don't want the whole show to be,
yeah,
about that bachelor party.
That doesn't seem like it would be a good fit.
It was horrible.
Because they're not there to really see you. They're
right
there to have a bachelorette party and
right
have penis popsicles or
right
something.
Right. That was my stage name for 3 years.
You were very successful, though.
Thank you. Thank you. For the first 90 seconds, anyway. All right. We will take a quick break. Kim Gordon is off today, Wendy. I gave Kim the day off.
Look at you.
Yeah, she's been working very hard. So I said, Kim, take a day or two off. She'll be back on Wednesday. So we'll have some mystery news. We'll find out who that is next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We have a mystery guest to do news. We,
yes,
found out who it is, and we're very excited.
It's the mysterious Ryan Burrow.
I kind of want to do it in another voice now.
That would be fun, wouldn't
that
it?
That would be.
What sort of a voice would you use?
I don't know. I haven't mastered one. Maybe Judy Pilak. I don't know.
Well, next time, work out a voice, and then next time you'll
all
do
right
it in a mystery
I'll
voice.
Have to do
all
that.
Right. Here with the news is Ryan Burrow.
22-year-old man accused of kidnapping a 16-year-old Crown Point girl over the weekend, taking her to Arkansas, is expected to be extradited to Lake County, Indiana. The girl was found safe. She's now with her family. That 22-year-old Alexander Curry Fishtorn of St. John could face federal charges. The family of the girl says they had a restraining order against him for stalking the girl in the past. And during the abduction, he made her dye her blonde hair black. It's unclear how FBI agents found the two in Arkansas. University of Chicago student was able to fight off an attacker this morning. Get this. Chicago police say the 21-year-old woman was walking in the 5600 block of South Drexel just after midnight when a man grabbed her from behind, pushed her to the ground, tried to assault her. The woman was able to bite the man in the arm, and he fled. Police say the woman was not hurt. She did not need medical attention. No arrests have been made. University of Chicago Police Department and CPD have increased patrols in the area. And most economists surveyed by the National Association of Business Economists expect that a recession is in the near future. It's just a matter of when. 34% say they believe it's going to happen in 2021. 38% say in 2020. Only 2% of those polled expect a recession to begin this year. President Trump has dismissed the recession and those concerns, saying Sunday, quote, "I don't think we're having a recession," end quote.
Ryan, are you fielding questions?
Yes.
I have a question.
I was going to wait till the end of the discussion.
Dissertation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here's a quick question.
Dissertation.
Let's say that economists recognize this problem in the economy.
Mm-hmm. Which is what they do because they're economists.
They're economists, so that's their job.
They don't know what they're talking
about. What can be done to prevent any kind of recession? Is there anything that can be done?
I don't know. I was talking about this with Eric Rung in the newsroom,
yeah,
and I openly said, are we scaring ourselves,
yeah,
into an economy? I think we all felt the hit of 2008,
yes,
right? I mean,
without
we went 2007, 2008. And, you know, it's like, oh boy, is this going to happen again? Should we,
right,
start putting our money under the bed,
yeah,
mattress and start investing in gold and all of that?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know what the key indicators are. The fact of the matter is the unemployment rate is at the lowest rate it's been in decades,
yeah,
right? I mean, everyone seemingly has a job right now. But
if you know a storm is coming, you buy an umbrella and you carry an umbrella. So what's the umbrella that we need to know?
So what should we do?
Yeah. What can we do to prevent this?
How do we prepare? I know how to prepare for Y2K.
Yeah.
How do we prepare for...
How did that go, by the way?
I was ready.
You still getting through that,
yeah,
canned green beans?
I still have water and dog food.
Yep.
And cat food, and I didn't even have a cat then.
Hmm.
Save those for retirement. You may need those.
But what are we supposed to do? Not spend. We're supposed to save our money.
Well, that's the thing. It's
but if you don't, that fuels the recession if you're not spending money.
We begin that deep cycle. Yeah, that, that spiral.
So is this a self-imposed recession? Because
that's what I
that's interesting.
Like, are we scaring ourselves? Like, is everything fine? But are we just kind of scaring ourselves, thinking, let's take the money out of investing because
I'm spending.
This thing's gonna turn.
I'll tell you right now.
You know what? I like Bill Maher a lot. I watch his show on HBO almost every Friday night. But what bothered me last week is he was saying on Friday that he hopes there's a recession because this will lead to the downfall of Trump. But I kept thinking, that's easy for you, Bill Maher, because you've got a lot of money stocked away. For the average American, that's not a good thing.
Well, and I remember the president said, I believe it was last week, that the media is pumping this up because they want him to fail, and that's why they're talking it up. The media got crushed last recession. I don't think anyone, we lost a lot of jobs here in Chicago and nationwide. I don't know if anyone wants a recession.
Right.
I don't.
But I could see where some people who really despise Donald Trump
wanted to make him look bad.
Yeah,
right?
But we still have to live in this country, so you know,
have our retirements and have our jobs and have affordable housing or housing that we can hang on to.
Yep,
so,
all true. All right, more with Ryan next with the news. It's WGN. Thanks, Ryan.
Yep,
Wendy. Earlier in the show, you were telling us things that people in England are upset about that we say.
Yeah, there was this guy on lithub.com, and his name is Giles Brandreth.
I wonder if he's British.
Of course his name is that, yeah.
Giles Brandreth.
Of course.
He's probably British.
Yes, and he kind of let people email in and say, you know, you British people out there, what do you hate that Americans say? And one of these is... all right.
Is that the one?
No. Normalcy.
Oh.
They don't like that. They say normality.
Oh.
And it really irritates them that we say we have to get things back to normalcy.
I think either are correct or just normal, I think, would be the most accurate, wouldn't it be?
Yes.
Let's get back to normal.
I hate alternate for alternative. I always get those confused and I don't know when to use them properly.
I think those are interchangeable.
Isn't alternate in replace of someone, whereas alternative is...
Well, you could have an alternate reality. You wouldn't have an alternative reality.
Yeah, they're two different things.
But like an alternate, like on the Olympic team, you have an alternate, and that would be someone who would replace if
one of the
starters hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they wouldn't be an alternative. They'd
no.
be an alternate.
Right. I think if it's a person, it's an alternate. If it's an object, it's an alternative or a concept, I think.
We've got this down, England.
Oh,
don't worry.
Come on.
All right, this one I think they're just picking on us because it says, I am increasingly hearing the phrase, that'll learn you, when the English and more correct version was always, that'll teach you. What a ridiculous phrase. I've heard like old professors say that or grandpa.
To be cute.
Yeah.
To
that,
be adorable.
No one says
and
that.
And it's, that'll learn ya.
Yeah.
Not you.
Y-A apostrophe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're saying it to be ironic.
Right. I really hate the phrase, where is it at? This is not more efficient or informative than, where is it? It just sounds grotesque and immensely irritating. That is an American thing. Where's it at?
That might be a Midwest thing,
it
too.
It is.
Yeah.
It is a very Midwest thing.
having an issue instead of a problem. I prefer the issue, quite honestly.
Issue sounds more important than problem, doesn't
it? Well, a problem sounds like, in my opinion... a problem, so-and-so doesn't get along. An issue could just be, oh, we're out of toilet paper. It to me,
so a problem is worse than an issue.
In my opinion.
Yeah. He's got a problem.
He's got an issue. Sounds like it's something that's been developing for years, right? A problem is something all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Right?
This is What's Hot, What's Cold, brought to you by American Weather Makers, the 60-Minute Men. This bothers them. A pet hate for Brits. I got it for free.
Oh, yeah.
You got it free, not for free. You don't get something cheap and say you got it for cheap, do you?
No.
I'm guilty. I say I got it for free.
I think almost everyone does here in the U.S. anyway.
Yeah.
Because you want to fill that in with, I got it for $2, I got it for $20,
right.
But I got it for free.
For nothing, honey. Remember that's Honey Bunches of Oats,
absolutely.
Wasn't it?
They got in a lot of trouble for those commercials.
What?
Because they were saying that they were taking shots at the gay community, but they were not.
How?
But they had to answer to that. Because there was a lot of weird interplay between...
Interplay, is that what you call it?
Well, interplay just being the way they were relating to the cook in those situations. Nut and honey, you know. I agree. I thought it was a bit much, but at the time, it made them rethink their ad campaign.
Was it a problem or an issue?
It was both a problem and an issue.
Okay.
Yes, it was. And I got it for free.
And this one just...
Because I stole it.
This bugs Bill more than anything. I just would like to say this term and let him roll, because this drives him insane.
Okay.
The Brits hate when we say, I could care less.
Because it's inaccurate.
It's, I couldn't. Careless.
It is, but I've never, like, anytime I try to correct somebody with that, and it's been so many times over the years.
Do you do that?
When I explain it to them, don't you see that if you could care less, then this is a non-story. If you couldn't care less, that means there's no possible way this could interest you less. And they just stare at you and they go, that's what I'm saying. I could care less.
No,
you're wrong. The Brits are correct on this one.
Do you correct people on the street who say it? Like,
yes.
You hear it walking up and down Michigan Avenue? Okay, just pause for a second
right.
here. I know you're going up to the Disney store, but just hear me out.
Right.
Yeah. What was your one on ordering earlier that I was shocked and happy I don't go out to dinner with you?
When people, let's say, Ryan, that you and I are going out for dinner,
okay,
and you say, I'll have the liver, or I'll have the chicken, or I'll have the hamburger. I say you should say, I'll have a liver or a chicken or a hamburger, because they've got more than one in the back. If you say the, it implies there's only one. Don't you see, that, right?
You know, if you go there,
he sees
a lot
it,
of
it doesn't mean he agrees
well,
with it.
Well, but a lot of the hamburgers are named after something. Like the place by me, they've got, like, you know, the this, or, you know, the bell ringer, or the, you know, which would have chili on it and jalapenos.
Oh, and served by a fireman.
But now, exactly. I went out to this place with Michael on Saturday night, and I didn't go early enough because they were out of prime rib, but I said, I'll have the prime rib. And they said, no, you won't, because we just sold our last one.
Oh, well, if it's a restaurant that only has one of each.
But no, it doesn't, but I just,
I don't
there's
know what
nothing
kind of,
wrong.
What kind of business model would that be? You better get one of everything. Who knows how many people will be dining
I'll tell
with.
You, I've been to this place three times, and every time they've been out of prime rib.
Oh.
You got to get there early.
So in that case, the is accurate, because they only have the one.
But you're pointing to an item on the menu, so I just, listen, I don't really care one way or the other, but I can't believe it bothers you so much.
Well, it bothers me, and I say it incorrectly when I'm in a restaurant. I'm also a victim of it. I say the also when it should be
You know,
the.
Ohio State's going to sue you for that.
I know
they are. The Ohio State.
I know. University. They're very litigious in that respect. I know.
All right. Well, that's all I got.
I'll have the ding dong.
That is different than a ding dong.
That's where I am when I order that.
That's not money.
Aren't you glad that in English we don't have to do like the male and the female versions of it? Because, man,
I would never be able
Spanish.
To say anything.
I know.
Right.
I know.
How do they decide what's male and what's female when you're talking about a book or a candle or a...
I don't know.
Isn't that crazy?
That's a great question.
A library is female for some reason.
Why? But the books are males.
Yeah. Le lycée. In French, that's library.
So does that also apply to French? Do they also do male and female?
Yes, but I think it's le. I think it's a male.
Oh.
I think our library
is a male. Maybe we should make our own list of what makes us mad about other languages.
Oh,
there we go.
That'd be a long list.
Here's what I'm going to tell you. They scared us very much in that we needed to learn the metric system.
Yep. They sure did.
And oh my God, I was very worried about it. They said the whole world will be going metric. We will be too.
Right.
Now, the whole world kind of did go metric, but we never did.
You know why? Because we're not smart enough. We couldn't figure it out.
It's just divisible by 10. They're all 10.
I know.
Things are 10. It should be
only
easy.
Only drug dealers were able to figure it out.
You're right.
That was it.
But it's not, I mean, we do, I'm trying to think, like we do 5Ks, obviously.
Yeah. Right.
But we drive in miles.
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
You can change your odometer to K, and I'm looking at it going, why would I do that? In my car, you can.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I do
it would confuse
conversion.
Me.
I go 3.1 miles. So if I'm going out for a 5K jog, you go through a 3.1
But even,
mile
Ryan,
jog.
Do you remember when we were kids, even Major League Baseball.
He's a little younger than us.
Oh, all right. So maybe it doesn't apply to you.
Oh.
But there were baseball stadia.
Did the Expos have
Yeah, they
meters?
I think they only had metric.
Okay.
I don't remember them having our system. I think they were only metric, but I think most Major League Baseball arenas only had both for a while.
Yeah.
Cuz we were told point blank if you don't know metrics in a couple of years, you're not going to know anything. You're not going to be able to get anything.
I don't even know how many liters it would take to fill up my car with gas.
See, that's confusing too, because the only thing that comes in liters is soda. The other
and hosen.
Pints.
Because gallon is milk.
Well, they do pints of blood and pints of beer, but
right.
I don't know where else a pint is used either.
In baking.
Baking? A pint?
Yeah, in baking, right, right, okay. right.
I don't know. I'm constantly, like, you know, trying to match
That's
how
what
many...
Siri and Alexa's for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forget to ask her. I do it myself. She's been not listening to me lately.
Does that happen?
I don't know what her problem is. I'll ask for something.
You should ask her, what's your problem with me?
All right, hang on.
That might be one of the...
Wendy, my daughter...
Hey, Siri, what's your problem with me?
My apologies.
See,
you guys are friends again.
You're all friends.
You're friends. My wife and one of my daughters went away for the weekend.
Okay.
Right? So Saturday morning, I hear my daughter's alarm. My daughter that went away for the weekend, her alarm is going off, and it's all connected to Siri. So I don't speak Siri. I don't know. So I just went in, and I just say this. I go, turn off alarm. Please stop playing alarm. Like 50 different versions of that.
Was it the Alexa, or was it Siri?
Well, I didn't know I had to say, it's Alexa.
Yeah, don't say it.
I didn't realize I needed to preface whatever I said.
Of course you do.
But I didn't know that. So I'm just saying every combination of words, please stop playing now.
Don't worry, it's recording everything you're saying. It's just not doing the commands.
That.
Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. I knew that. I'm fine with that.
We were talking, I was watching Adam Ruins Everything because I really enjoy that show,
yeah,
Adam Conover, and this was all about the United States of America. And we shouldn't really call it America because there are other Americas, Central America, South America. We should say the United States of America. So
we're also not all completely united.
Well, that's
for the record.
Yes.
So we might want to look at that too.
And they were talking about the Constitution, and it's really hard to make amendments to it, but it has been changed several times. It was just kind of a really fascinating one. And Michael and I were watching it, and he goes, "Give me your phone. Give me your iPad." And I go, "What do you want?" He took his phone, and my iPad and put it in another room. And he goes, "Okay, I wanted to ask you about the government." I go, "Michael, no one is listening." And he goes, "How do I know that?" Isn't that weird?
Wow.
He took everything out of the room because it's like someone's going to pick up on that.
I don't think that's the
Did
worst thing.
Did you guys
thing.
Put on tinfoil hats?
That was later.
I found out Greenland, you know, there was that discussion that maybe President Trump was kicking around the idea of have you heard this about making Greenland part of America? And
yes.
I didn't realize that Greenland is technically part of North America. It's not Europe.
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah.
What a great acquisition it would be.
You know, the one thing I can tell you about that is I'm sure people back in the 50s thought it was crazy to get Alaska, right?
Probably.
Alaska.
Right. Yeah.
It's like
there was
throwaway
even
land
opposition
between
to the Louisiana
Russia.
Purchase when it was made. People
true.
Were like, "Ugh, you're wasting your money. What are you doing?"
And
that was 3 cents
Louisiana.
An acre. Not bad.
Why does he want to buy Greenland? I mean, I heard it and I'm aware of it.
We need ice for parties.
Military reasons.
Is that why?
Well, that's part of it. I think that they're technically operated, like they're under the command of the Netherlands. Like they're under that, but they're self-sufficient.
Oh.
Like they operate their own government. But I guess the Netherlands gives them like half
Denmark, it's sovereign owner.
Oh, Denmark? Okay.
Takes care of defense and foreign policy.
Half $1 billion, I guess, of money they send, and they don't want that expense anymore.
But don't they say they're not for sale? They're saying...
They say that.
Yeah
I think this thing kind of fell apart. It sounds like it was something he was considering. I don't know. I mean,
wouldn't maybe we can move the White House there.
Oh,
the White House in Greenland.
Well, I mean, I wonder if there are other potential business opportunities that maybe
wouldn't
Mr.
the steel
Trump is seeking as well.
Didn't they have to make the steel by the trade deadline 2 weeks ago? I don't think they can get it in now. Too late. Also, I didn't realize on Friday it was the anniversary, the 42nd anniversary of Elvis Presley's death. Did you guys know that?
Elvis Death Week in Memphis, right?
I am very upset we did not do any kind of tribute.
And they do Death Week.
Well, you know, traditionally you don't do it on the 42nd. You do it on the 40th, the 45th, the 50th.
Radio Jays do it every year.
The professional radio Jays do. But
they have the Elvis Channel operates I think it's the XM channel operates there in Graceland.
Oh, they do?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've got it physically there. And they test people. They quiz. My gosh, I listened to it one time, and they quiz people who go to Grace.
Yeah.
Some of these people come from France. They're fanatics. They've been there a million times.
Right.
And they're asked these questions, and it's like, how did you know the answer to that?
Everything.
Yeah.
Have you been to Graceland?
Yeah, I lived in Memphis for a couple years.
Oh, you did?
I gotta go.
It got to a point where people were coming to visit me, and we had a sponsorship with them, and I could always kind of get people situated with tickets and stuff like that.
Oh, do you still have that relationship?
No,
because I gotta go.
And it got to the point where people would come, and I'd just be like, here, go. I've seen it enough.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen it enough.
What do you come away with?
This was before the company came in and bought them out.
Yeah.
This was when the Presleys were still running it, because I think maybe it was a decade ago, a company came in. They're going to obviously expand the brand and make it bigger.
Yeah.
And I think they've added a bunch of things.
When you see Graceland, when you walk through the house upon leaving, what do you come away with? What knowledge do you have after you've seen it that you didn't have?
It's frozen in time, that's for sure. I mean, it's shagadelic, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, carpeting on the walls. Although being in radio now, you kind of appreciate what that does to cut down on sound. I'm sure if he was jamming out there, you know, it's better not to have all this IKEA furniture all over the place. And
here's what two different friends of mine who saw it said independently of each other.
Okay.
They said, as much as one of them loves Elvis Presley, the other one likes Elvis Presley, but they both said, when you leave there, you realize that all the money in the world can't buy you taste.
Although, guys, I will say this, that style was very popular then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I have seen some older homes that have that same, a lot of gold, and that was just kind of what was popular then.
Right.
Yeah,
and
I mean, if you
but coming from someone who had carpeting
on their
on
wall.
The walls.
Yeah. I know. That was my parents and Elvis together did that when I was at school one day.
I mean, I think if you freeze any of our tastes in time,
right.
You know, eventually, decades later, you'll be like, whether it's clothing or
hairstyles that I've gone through. Wow.
The one thing is that I took away, and keep in mind, I did this before the changeover, is you can do the audio tour where you're listening in on the headphones and you're walking through it, and you walk through the room with all of his records, his gold records and everything like that, and then they just say, and then he died.
Yeah. Oh, that they just gloss over it?
Yeah, they didn't really get into it. So it's like, and that's what they leave you with. And it's like,
on the toilet that he died on?
I don't think.
Do they even show that bathroom? Can you go into that bathroom?
I wasn't allowed upstairs. I think it's the upstairs, right? Because we weren't allowed upstairs. The family was still technically owners of that, and I think they still had their own personal belongings up there.
Like, didn't also for a while, didn't he have relatives that had, like, either souvenir shops right outside or stands set up?
There is, like, yeah. I mean, it's, like, all around there. There's the Heartbreak Hotel is right next to it, and then they've got, like, an outlet of malls mall kind of thing where, you know.
Why would anyone stay at the Heartbreak Hotel? You're going to have a bummer of a time. Why would anyone stay there?
That's
so lonely. I mean, you could die.
And some have.
Now, there's some Elvis Presley spy animated series. Do you know anything about this?
No.
This is on Fox News, so whatever.
This is an answer to him wanting to do government work during Richard
Netflix
Nixon.
On the 42nd anniversary of Elvis Presley's death, which this was published one day ago, announced that it has ordered the adult animated action comedy series Agent King from Priscilla Presley and John Eddy. Authentic Brands Group, Sony Pictures Animation, and Sony Pictures Television are also partners on the show. In the forthcoming series, Elvis Presley trades in his white jumpsuit for a jetpack when he is covertly inducted into a secret government spy program to help battle the dark forces.
Funny idea.
That threaten the country he loves, all while holding down his day job as the king of rock and roll.
That's a very funny idea. I hope they pull it off.
This is happening, I guess. Look for it on Netflix. It's called Agent King. From the time Elvis was a young boy, he always dreamed of being the superhero, fighting crime and saving the world. Agent King lets him do just that, said Priscilla Presley. My co-creator John Eddy and I are so excited to be working with Netflix and Sony Animation on this amazing project and getting the chance to show the world an Elvis they haven't seen before.
When he was trying to convince anybody who would listen that he should be a secret agent, did anyone say to him, you're fairly recognizable? We can't really slide you in and out of operations without people like
going. There are a lot of him.
There are a lot of him.
I mean, that's true. Which one's which?
Where do you think he is right now? Is he still in Kalamazoo?
Yeah, that was always the rumor, right? I don't know why they chose Kalamazoo, Michigan, but that was
why
always.
Why did they? You're absolutely right.
I have no idea what that was based on.
Is he with Andy Kaufman right now? Are they hanging out?
Maybe.
I don't understand. Kalamazoo, they saw him alive in Kalamazoo?
Well, they always thought he was a used car salesman. Okay, yeah. There.
He's supposed to be buried on the property there in Graceland.
Right.
Yeah, but everybody's like, he's not really alive. He faked his death.
Yeah.
Those poor people.
The thing about Memphis too is you go everywhere and it's like, oh, this is favorite this.
Everything.
This is, I think his favorite roller coaster has been dismantled. But I have had his favorite pizza, the at Coletta's barbecue pork, which actually was pretty good.
I bet
barbecue,
that would be good.
Barbecue pork pizza. Yeah.
And that was way before Wolfgang Puck.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
he had the, you know, chicken pizza. Because I just
like Coletta's may be lying too. I don't know. They may just say that. Who's going to dispute them, right?
That's true.
I believe anybody.
That's true. Ryan, thank you very much for hanging out. We'll take a quick break, then we'll say goodbye. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I am scanning the internet, and maybe you will have better luck than I do.
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for Agent King, which is coming to Netflix. It's Elvis Presley. It's a spy animated series, and I want to see a cartoon Elvis, and I can't find it.
So you're going under the assumption that the real Elvis was not a cartoon Elvis. This was a separate kind
I'm
of cartoon Elvis.
I'm done.
That's it for today's show.
I
have to call my throat when hold on.
I'm like...
Nah, okay. I should be all right.
Maybe later.
We'll see how things go. Tomorrow, a whole new episode, start to finish, all new material. Will it be good? Find out. Tune in tomorrow and find out. That's it. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.